that we all know. This is a church staple. Just want to praise you. So we're going to put our hands together. We're going to sing the song together. We're going to lift our hands. We're going to stand up. We're going to worship him. Hallelujah. Anybody glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, sing. I just want to praise you. Praise you forever.
Forever.
And ever.
And ever.
And ever.
Blessings and glory.
Jesus, for blessing me. For blessing me. Hallelujah. Now come on and bless him. Bless him real big this morning. Hallelujah.
Amen. Blessings and glory and honor, they all belong to him. Amen. Amen. Anybody here got something to praise God for? Oh, let me ask that question one more time. Does anybody in here have anything to praise God for? Amen. 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 Let us bow our heads. Our Father God, we come to you this morning to say thank you, Master. Thank you, first of all, that you woke us up this morning. And then, Master, you allowed us to be in our right mind and have the functions of our body. So simply for that, we come to say thank you. But then, Master, we also thank you for your grace and for your mercy. For it is your grace and mercy that covers us and keeps us. And Master, not only do we thank you for your grace and your mercy, but we thank you for your very presence. For because your presence is here with us today, Master, what's said, what's sung, what's given to us by way of a hymn, or by a smile, or by a touch, or by a simple word, would change us and make us better for the kingdom of God. We ask for all these blessings in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name, we do now pray. Let every heart say amen. 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 We now have opening hymn 368.
Just to rest on
You stand by me. Anybody here know that God would be a heavy load bearer? Huh? Somebody need to give God some praise. We're a little subdued in here today. Amen. I thought I was pastoring a church that's a blessed church. Huh? Are we blessed?
Yes.
If we blessed, we ought to give God some praise. Amen. Let me tell you something I heard today from a very popular, well, old school preacher. He said something that was very profound to me. He said, if you went and got education, so much education that you can't praise God, go back and get more education because you didn't get the right education. Because God is the one who gave you what you have. You think it was your knowledge. It wasn't your knowledge. God is the source for all things. You think that you did all that on your own? Guess what? You did nothing by yourself. Because if God snaps his finger right now, with all you have, all be gone. Somebody ought to give God some praise in here. Amen. Amen. I consider myself to be a smart man. I'm smart enough to know. When God says praise him, I praise him. Amen. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Father God, we come this morning to say thank you, Master. For you said man should always give thanks. And sometimes it's tough to do that because perhaps we are going through storms. Our trials and our tribulations are heavy upon us. But even in that, you said we ought to give you thanks. So this morning, Master, no matter where we find ourselves in our spiritual walk, no matter where we find ourselves in this world, we are going to give you thanks. Because first of all, you are worthy of our gratitude. You are worthy of our appreciation. As we talked about in Sunday school this morning, what we have that we call this body is not even our own. You gave this to us to be stewards over. So we come this morning and say thank you, Master, for all that you've done for us today. And Master, not only that, what you've done for us today, but what you've done for us on yesterday and what you will do for us on tomorrow. We come, Master, because we are appreciative of who you are in our lives. And Master, you said that if the people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, we come this morning praying. Then you said, and seek your face. We come this morning to seek you. And Master, and you said, if we do these things, then you will hear from heaven and you will heal our land. We come this morning, Master, to say thank you because we know that you will heal our land. No matter what land that we may find ourselves in, perhaps it's loneliness or envy is in our hearts, or perhaps we have a heart that's aching because we've lost loved ones. We know that you can heal us. We come to say thank you because you are just that kind of God, one who ear is turned to its people, for you hear our every cry and you deliver us out of all of our situations. So we come this morning and say thank you, Master, for being who you are. Thank you for being our God. It's in your Son Jesus' holy name we do now pray. Let our hearts say amen. Amen. We ask now that our office have come for the purpose of tithing and offering. Thank you. Father God, we come now to say thank you, Master, for what has been given here today. And we pray, Master, that we use them to edify your kingdom. So, man, we know that you still yet have all power. We ask these blessings in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name. We do now pray that all hearts sing.
What you do? Christ. Only what you do, what you do for Christ.
Only what you do for Christ will last. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to John chapter 15. A familiar passage of Scripture. John chapter 15. And we'll begin reading that first verse. John chapter 15 reads, "And I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." Amen. For a few moments, I would like to talk from the subject connected to the true vine. Let me say that one more time. Connected to the true vine. And my proposition to you today is this: let your life be a continuous exalting of Christ. Let me say that one more time. Let your life be a continuous exalting of Christ. My brothers and sisters, this is one of the greatest passages in the Gospels. It is an important part of Jesus' discourse during the Lord's Supper. You see, John deals with the Lord's Supper from chapter 13 to chapter 17. In 13, he says, Jesus washes the feet of his disciples. He predicts his betrayal by Judas. He predicts his denial by Peter. In 14, he comforts his disciples. He also teaches them that he is the only way to the Father. And then he promised them the coming of the Holy Ghost. But in 15, he teaches them the importance of the relationship that they must have with him and with God. And then in 16, he teaches them the purpose of the Holy Spirit. And then in 17, we have perhaps what is considered to be the most misstated chapter in the Bible. 17 is actually the Lord's Prayer, not Matthew's chapter 6. In chapter 17 of John, he prays for himself, for his disciples, and for all believers. So John chapter 17 is actually the Lord's Prayer, not Matthew's chapter 6. Matthew's chapter 6 is actually just a model prayer. It is not the Lord's Prayer. John 17 is the Lord's Prayer. The entire chapter is actually Jesus praying for us and how we treat each other so the world will know how to become part of him. So when we look at this text, we see that Jesus opened this chapter by stating that he is the true vine. And the Greek word used there translates to grapevines. And it literally talks about grapevines. And Jesus actually used a metaphor to compare himself to the grapevines. Although he used a metaphor to compare himself to the grapevine, what he is talking about is not a metaphor. It's actually literal. Jesus is the ultimate source of life. He's the ultimate source of spiritual life for all believers. He is the authentic and the divine source for fruitfulness for those who are connected to him. If you're not connected to Jesus, let me say this, you can't be fruitful. You're doing good stuff, but yet and still, you're not fruitful in the eyesight of God. And let me share this to you, brothers and sisters. There's going to be a lot of good people who are going to go to hell. Just because you do good works don't make you go to hell. Amen. I mean, go to heaven. Doing good works is not enough. We do good works because we are saved. We don't do good works to become saved. Jesus is the source of our ability to be able to produce good fruit. And you know, they say you know the tree by the fruit that they bear. A good tree bears good fruit. A bad tree bears bad fruit. Or as they say, rotten fruit. If you are not connected to Jesus, your actions and your deeds do not bear good fruit. Your actions and your deeds only bear good things if they're positive. But in most cases, your actions and your deeds bear bad fruit. Jesus is the source of not only our spiritual life, but he is the source of all life. John 1 and 1 through 4 says this: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And then it goes on to say this: in him was life, and the life was the light of all men. My brothers and my sisters, in order for you to have life, you must be connected to Jesus. There are many of us walking around, let me say this, dead, but living.
Yeah.
Amen. Many of us are walking around dead, but living, because we're not connected to the vine. Paul taught us in Bible study at Sunday school this morning that I can do all things, but everything I do is not good for me. In other words, just because you can do it don't mean you ought. To do it. I was fired up because what we were talking about in Sunday school, what I was going to preach about today, I want you to know that if you are going to be blessed, you got to be connected to the vine. You just can't go out and do what you want to do and think you can do everything you can do just because you can do it. Many of us get ourselves in trouble because we do what we want to do. Huh? We dance to our own drum. And we do our own thing. We got our own thing going on. When God says that you ought to show some respect. Some respect to him, because it is him who gives you the ability to do what you can do. If you're going to show him that you appreciate him and that you love him, you ought to do what he says you ought to do. That's why he said, if you follow my commandments, then I will call you friend. You got to stay connected to the true vine. We have natural life because he created us. We have a spiritual life because he called us. And we have eternal life because he died, was buried, and was resurrected to redeem
us.
So when we are talking about the true vine, you ought to realize that he is everything to you. And you ought not to do anything without consulting with him. Amen. Because he is the true vine. He is the truth. You are not what you think you are. In many cases, we think that we're big and bad enough to do what we want to do, how we want to do it, when we want to do it, and who we want to do it to. But God says, you're not big and badder than I am. I am the true source. I am the source of all things. I am the power that gives you the ability to even talk, think, and walk. Without me, he says, you have nothing. Not only do you have nothing, without me, you can't do nothing. We have to understand that he is our source for life. He is our source for everything. He is our ultimate source and life of the past. He is our ultimate source of life of the present. He is our ultimate source of life for the future. And so my brothers and sisters, if you have not gotten it right, he has an open door policy that would allow you to get it right. I love managers who have open door policies, because that means when I mess up, I can freely go to you and talk to you without there being a backlash, without there being some consequences that may cause me some problems. God has an open door policy that when you mess up, and you're going to mess up because we're human.
Amen.
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 Anybody here without sin? Well, if you are without sin, then God about to take you out of here because you're perfect. All of us will come short of the glory of God, but he says that he is the true vine that gives you life. And not only is he the true vine that gives you life, but he connects you to God. His connecting you to God creates something in the way that God functions with us. According to this scripture, the Bible said that Jesus called God the husband man. And when you look in the Greek, that word simply means that he's a farmer or the worker or soil. God is a sovereign God with magnificent power to manage our lives. Let me say that one more time. God is a sovereign God with magnificent power to manage our lives. In other words, God looks at what we are doing, and he sees how we are growing spiritually. And when there's something that's hindering our growth or stopping our growth, the Bible here says that God will purge it out of your life. Amen. In other words, God will cut that dead plea, that the dead piece in your life, and get rid of it. For those of us who are gardeners, maybe some of the women in here are gardeners, because no, most men, we're not that good with it. Now, Walter is, because I've been to Walter's house, and Walter can grow stuff. I told him, brother, if you gave me that same plant, it'd be dead in 2 weeks. But God watches his plant, you. And when he sees something in your life that does not resemble him, when he sees something in your life that's causing you to not grow in a certain area of your life, when he sees something that's causing you to decay or die in a certain area of life, the Bible shares with it that God will cut that thing out of your life. Now, sometimes the cutting process is painful, because sometimes it's something we love. Mm-hmm. It may be a person, place, or thing. It can be tough, because sometimes what we think is a blessing is not a blessing. Because what we must realize is that Satan can give us stuff too.
Amen.
I know I confused some of y'all, because y'all think the only thing Satan can do is take away from you. No, Satan can trick you by giving you blessings.
Amen.
But that blessing may not line up with what God wants in your life. That's what makes it evil, because it's not a blessing from God.
I'm going to tell you a little life story. One of my sisters was getting married, and the man that she was getting married to was what we consider in the Baptist church. I don't know if they say it in UCC.
he was unevenly yoked. But she was excited because somebody liked her. She was excited because somebody showed her some interest. She was excited because she thought she had found love. And when she was getting ready to marry this man, she came to me and asked me, "What do you think?" I said, "Do you want me to be honest with you? Or do you want me to sugarcoat it?" She said, "Be honest with me." I said, "You're about to make a mistake." She said, "Why would you say that? Because he treats me so nice and he treats me right." I said, "Does he love God?" "No, he don't come to church. He don't necessarily believe in the God that we believe in." Well, then you're unequally yoked. That's not a blessing from God. That's a blessing from Satan. Because sometimes Satan wants to pull you out of the house of God. Sometimes Satan knows what's coming down the road for you and he want to hinder your blessing. So he'll put a stumbling block along the way by way of what you're weak towards. And she said, "Well, bro, I'm going to marry him anyway." She said, "I think you're being a little too hard on him." Well, shortly after they got married, a few years later, he became physically abusive. And she ended up divorcing him. And I didn't go and say, "I told you so." I opened up my arms and held her because it hurt her. But sometimes we think what is a blessing is not a blessing. And God knew he had to remove him out of her life. There are things in our life that God will remove. Just like a gardener cuts the dead part off of a plant. When you look at a beautiful plant, you see a part that's withering. When you go to make sure that that plant continue to grow, you cut that dead part off. When you are connected to Jesus and you're growing spiritually, when God finds a dead area in your life, he cuts that dead area. I learned that the hard way. As I grew spiritually, I lost friends. I don't have as many friends as I used to. Amen. But guess what? That's all right. Mm-hmm. Because they are not friends now, they weren't friends before. Amen. Huh? Amen. Some of us need to understand that when you are connected to the true vine, God is going to manage you. Let me say that again. God is going to manage you. In other words, God is watching you. Because in order to manage you, he must see what you're doing. Amen. He must see where you're growing. He must see where you're struggling. Look, I'm a manager. And one thing we always do, we do evaluations. I do so many evaluations, I'm sick of it. And the funny part about it is when I'm about to evaluate someone, I know when it's going to be a short evaluation, and I know when it's going to be a long evaluation. And it's not because of me, it's because of the person. I hope you caught that. Sometimes when God is evaluating your situation, the evaluation takes longer because of you, not because of God. Your blessing is waiting on you, but because you won't let it go, or you won't change your mindset, or you won't do things differently, or you won't see things God's way, you prolong your reward. Amen. He says, but when you connect it to the true vine, if you pay attention and you allow me to coach you. That's what we do now as managers. We coach people. We used to have meetings. You know, we can't say meetings anymore. We have to say it's a coaching session. If you allow God to coach you, he will lead you into prosperity. If you allow God to show you where to go, he'll lead you to where you need to go. If you allow God to manage you, he will manage you around your problem. And if you find yourself in a situation, he will manage you out of the situation. True. But you got to realize that he is the husbandman and he has to work on you.
Anybody here need work? I'll be the first to raise my hand. I need a lot of work. Amen.
Amen.
God said, if you allow me to work on you, I can work on you. He said, look at this. He says, when someone goes to a garden, and that garden hasn't been kept, is overgrown, and has a lot of dead parts, it's not attractive. But if the garden is kept and is neat, it becomes beautiful and becomes attractive. Amen. When you're connected to Jesus and Jesus is your true vine, there's an anointing that goes with you being connected to him. And because of that anointing, the people will see the beauty that's in you and want to know who your God is. He dresses you for the kingdom of God. He prepares you for the kingdom of God. He prepares you for the drawing of people unto him. That's why Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. He wasn't necessarily talking about being lifted up on that cross. He was talking about being lifted up in your life. When you're connected to Jesus, if you lift Jesus, you become attractive. You become a beautiful flower. All those bad parts about you will be cut off. I told you guys once before, I used to have a foul mouth. Whew. I could cuss with the best of them. I could. And one day I was out in the public cursing, and the lady said something to me and made my heart drop in my shoes. And I knew it wasn't nobody but God. Because before then, I couldn't hear myself curse because it came part of me. Now, when you sin enough, it becomes a part of you. And you can no longer recognize that sin. Because it's no longer the sin that's doing it, according to James. It's you that's doing it because it's your lust that draws you to the sin because you like that sin. Well, I guess I liked cussing. It made me feel good. It made me feel empowered. It made me feel like I was my own person. It made me feel like I was a big and bad enough man to do it. Not realizing the whole time I was destroying myself spiritually because every time I would do it, I was spiritually dying. One day, God sent somebody to cut that leaf. And because he used her to cut that leaf, I could hear myself curse. I could hear myself doing things that was not right. When God sends somebody to your life to help you realize the dead areas in your life, see those dead areas. Don't take offense to it. See those dead areas. Because God is trying to purge you. He's trying to prune you. He's trying to remove that dead area in your life so you can become better, and not better just for yourself, but better for the kingdom Amen. Of God.
Amen.
He is our husbandman. He's the one that manages us if we allow him to. You know, I tell my people that I'm about to fire, and I've had to fire a few people. What I'm about to do is the worst part of my job. I don't like doing this. As a matter of fact, I'm not firing you. You're firing yourself. Many times we are the problem. We are the reason why there's spiritual dry places in our life. We're the reason why we're dying in certain areas of our life because we're hard-headed and we don't want to listen. That's why I said sometimes God's had to speak to us, but sometimes for some of us, God had to hit us in the head with a brick before we listen. If you are connected to the vine, all you have to do is listen and watch God work. Because the Bible says he will chastise you when you don't listen. Because the word says that he chastised those who he loved, like a father chastised a son. And then it goes on to say that if he does not chastise you, that means you don't belong to him. Mm. Lord have mercy. Did you hear what I said? If he doesn't chastise you when you step out of line, that means you don't belong to him. My mother used to tell me that when she was about to whoop me, that it was more painful for her to whoop me than me taking a whooping. I never understood that concept until I had a child of my own. And the first time I had to whoop her, it hurt me so bad I really didn't even whoop her. But I had to whoop her in order to correct the error that she made. I had to do it because I wanted her to grow in a certain area of her life. When God has to chastise you, it hurt him, but he wants for you to grow spiritually in that area of your life, so he has to chastise you. He has to show you love. And I know you say, how you show me love when you whoop me? Well, if he don't whoop you, then you're going to bump your head somewhere, then you're going to ask, why didn't you tell me? You know, a lot of us nowadays, we like to blame our folks for our own problems. Amen. Well, when you told your folks not to whoop you for that and they didn't, guess what? Now you bumped your head. It's not their fault, it's yours. Mm-hmm. God says, when you're connected to me, there is a blessing for being connected to me. Because when you're connected to me, I'm going to do some things for you that no one else can. James said it like this: when you are connected to him, he'll wash your hands and purify your heart. In other words, he'll wash away all of your sins. Anybody here need sins to be washed away? I know I do. David said it like this. He says that when you cry, he'll come close to you. Anybody here need God to be close to you? I know I need him to be close to me. There was a woman who had an issue of blood one day. She said, if I can just get close to him, he don't even have to see me. Just if I can get close to him and hit the hem of his garment, she said, I'll be made whole. Somebody ought to give God some praise in here, because when you're connected to the divine and you cry out to him, he'll get close enough for you to receive your healing. He'll get close enough for you to receive your deliverance. He'll get close enough for you to receive your blessing. Jeremiah said it like this, that he hears your cry. And not only does he hear your cry, but he will wipe away the tears from your eyes. Anybody here got tears that need to be wiped away? If you're like me, sometimes you cry in the midnight hour because you can't find peace. You can't find rest. But if you call on the name of Jesus, the Bible just told you he'll come close. And when he gets close to you, you can reach out and touch. Oh, y'all don't hear me. You can reach out and touch him. And when you touch him with the right touching, the Bible says virtue leaves his body and go into you. Anybody need God's virtue today? Anybody need God's healing today? Anybody need God's deliverance today? Anybody need God's power today? Anybody need God's protection today? I know I do. I need all of it. Huh? I was struggling before I got here. But I feel good now. Because I'm in the presence of my Lord. I didn't feel like I was going to be able to preach. I didn't feel like I was going to be able to do it. But God whispered to me by way of somebody, I got you. Y'all don't hear me. See, when you need God and you're connected to him, he'll show up every time. And he'll show up right on time. Even when you're not expecting for him to show up, he'll show up and give you what you need to make it through. I'm going to close and sit down when I say this. Paul sums it up best when he said, I am assured, because I'm connected to him, that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor future, or any power, neither height or depth, should be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Somebody ought to give God some praise in here, because if you are connected to him, you should be assured that no matter what you're going through, that God will be there for you. If you're connected to him, no matter what you're dealing with, God will
heal you. God will keep you. God will watch you. God will, as my mother would say, he will rock you in the midnight hour. Somebody ought to give God some praise in here today. If you stay connected to the vine, rewards from heaven are yours. But you must stay connected. If you continuously lift Jesus in your actions, he will continuously bless you. Give God a hand clap of praise. The doors of my Father's house are now open. If there will be one who do not know God and the free pardons of your sins, the time is now. If there's one who does not have a church home and looking for a church home, the doors of my Father's house are open. If you will come up front, we will meet you and give you the right hand of fellowship. Father God, we come now to say thank you, Master. Thank you for your grace and for your mercy. Thank you for all you said here today. We pray, Master, that we leave this place with the intent to walk in a life where we are always lifting up Jesus. Because if we are lifting up Jesus, we are doing what you called us to do in the kingdom of God. And man, to see that you yet still have mercy, kindness, love, consideration, and Master, most of all, that you're yet still all powerful. So as we leave this place, give us the anointing to walk in such a mindset that we're always trying to please you. Even when we fall, let our fall be one where we recognize that we were either in the wrong or maybe we're in a storm, but yet and still our eyes be set on you. We ask now that as we walk, cover us and keep us, watch over us and protect us until we can return back to this place where you have chosen to place your name. It's in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name, we do now pray. Now let all God's children sing.